Blog Talk Radio.
How can I, your servant, talk to you, Lord? My strength is gone and I can hardly breathe. Here I am, Lord, I'm waiting for your presence. I am empty, Lord, come fill my cup. I am empty, Lord, come fill my cup. You are the vine, God, and we are the branches. You washed and cut every breath I took. Emmanuel, our God, was with us, leading God us through your word breath. Here I am, Lord, I'm waiting for your presence. I am empty, Lord, come fill my cup. I am empty, Lord, come fill my cup.
Welcome to Let's Talk Radio for Women. This is Nancy Baxter, your Bible study leader, and I can't wait to get started. So stay right where you are, and we'll be right back with our study of the second psalm.
Bible Quiz Olympics, an exciting fellowship study program for young people. Designed for grades 1 through 12, Bible Quiz Olympics is a great way to learn Bible facts and teach students how to study the Bible. And Bible Quiz Olympics is fun. Each semester closes in competition between Quiz Olympics teams. Students compete in Bible trivia and challenging games. It's tons of fun. Go to houseofjoyministries.com for more information. Bible Quiz Olympics, because everybody's a winner who studies God's Word.
I love to study the Bible with a group of Christian women, especially that type of study where we come together and share not only our answers to questions, but also the concerns of our lives and thoughts and desires of our hearts. If you enjoy this type of Bible study group, then we invite you to join us for one of our dynamic conferences. There's one coming up soon. Go to our website, houseofjoyministries.com. Come on, you know you want to come, and we sure want you to be there.
Now, if we listen to the news today, there's the prospects of war about to break out in the Middle East. And anyone who studied the Bible at all has to think that this might be the beginning of the end. The coming of Christ is closer than it's ever been. We know that for a fact. It may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, it might not even be 10 years from now. But we do know this, it's closer than it's ever been. The prospect of war is frightening, especially to our young people. Remember how it was when you were young? You wanted to live your life, get married, have a family. We've all wanted that. The thought that it might not happen for us is scary. God doesn't want us to be afraid. He wants us to put our trust in Him, and He wants us to look up because our redemption is close at hand. And young person, Jesus is our hope. Now, the second psalm is a messianic psalm, meaning that it is about the Messiah. It is prophetic in nature and speaks of the coming of Christ. Now, in this psalm, we'll see the world opposing Christ. The world has always opposed Christ, but this psalm specifically speaks about the opposition to the coming King. When Jesus was on earth, He didn't do anything that wasn't good. Everything He did was good. And God has never been anything but good. From the time of Adam and Eve, man has chosen to follow Satan, and eventually they're going to rise up against the Messiah. The rulers of the nations are up in arms against him. Now, if they chose to follow him, it would only mean good for them and for their countries and for their people. But instead, they choose to be against him. And one would ask, why? Why? God has promised blessings beyond measure, but the majority of the world wants something else. They look elsewhere. Now, this makes no sense to a believer. And it will continue to make no sense. But one day, Jesus will appear in the clouds, and every knee shall bow. Now, this psalm is divided into three parts, verses 1 through 6, then verses 7 through 9, and then verses 10 through 11. So let's read verses 1 through 6. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that setteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Now I paraphrase verse 1 and put that in my own words, and this is how I worded verse 1. Why are the foreign nations, specifically the Gentile nations and the unbelieving Jews, tumultuous and the people ponder, they meditate on, they speak of a worthless thing? Now, not only are the rulers of the nations set against Christ, but the very masses of the people of those nations are set against him as well. Nations that wouldn't agree on anything are united against Christ, and they are violent in their contentions against him. Now, this was prophesied a long time ago in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Let's read that verse. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And of course, the Lord is talking here to the serpent in the Garden of Eden, after he approached Eve and put thoughts in her mind, and Adam and Eve sinned. This is part of that prophecy. What we read here in the second psalm is part of that prophecy found in Genesis 3:15. Satan will do anything and everything he can in his attempt to triumph over God. All the persecutions that Christians have suffered from the very beginning, even to this very day, are part of this prophecy. Satan is at war with God, and mankind is the pawn. You know, man seems to think he's so knowledgeable and he's so wise and he's so scientific. And Satan is having a picnic at man's expense. Conservative Christians, people who believe that God is the creator and the master of the universe, people who preach and practice a moral, ethical way of life, are laughed at and called ignorant. Now, this is part of the battle, the enmity, the hostility between God and Satan. Verse 2, I reworded to read, the kings and rulers of the earth unite in opposition of the Lord and his Messiah. These nations who have fought for centuries, for thousands of years, they're going to unite to oppose Jesus. I mean, we understand what that is, don't we? If we've ever been to junior high school, we understand what that is. That's how junior high school kids act. They'll fuss and they'll fight, and then all together they'll come together against one person. Verse 3 tells us, they will plot to break away from God's control. Can you imagine that? This is absolutely ludicrous. If nothing else, this shows man's total ignorance of who God is. Not only can they not do this, why would they want to do it? God is good. God has promised blessings beyond belief. Why would anyone want to break away from Him? These kings, these nations, and all their wisdom and all their smartness, all their knowledge, they have no understanding. They have been totally blinded by Satan. Satan has promised them wealth, fame, power, and they believe him. They believe him. Let's look at this opposition of man against God. First of all, it is a nasty, raging hatred against God. Second, these men meditate on it. They plan it. It's premeditated. Have you ever hated someone so much that you just sat and plotted against that person? That's what they're doing. Now, one would think that if a person thought that long and hard about something, the truth would come out, but no. This hatred is so strong that they are blinded. Look at the many stars in Hollywood. And I say stars with quotes on either side. Not all, but many. Look at their hatred of morality. Many of them just seem to be thumbing their nose at God. Many in our political system do the same thing. They want to be so politically correct that they elevate everything and everyone of this world over the things and the people of God. Thirdly, these people will set themselves against God. Now, this is not just a passing fancy. This is deliberate. It is certain. It is premeditated. It is planned. They are against God, and they make no bones about it. They don't apologize for it, and they don't have to apologize. They can be very open and very frank because they are in unity against God. In verse 4, God laughs at man's attempts. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 3:19. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Once I saw this little dog, a chihuahua, trying to take a bone away from a German shepherd. That little dog was yapping and carrying on, trying to intimidate that big, tough dog. You know, that German shepherd just stood there and looked at him. Then the shepherd picked up the bone and went over and laid down with it. That little dog put up a fuss, but there was no way it was going to get that bone. That must be how God sees this situation. The wisdom of man is foolishness with God. Verse 5 tells us that God is greatly displeased with man, and he will pour his wrath upon them. Isaiah 11:4, But with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. God will only have to speak, and man will be undone. The Bible tells us that with his word he will do this. In verse 6, God has set his king upon the holy hill of Zion. It's already done. The opposition of man is ridiculous. Hollywood, the atheists, the agnostics, the false religionists, they've already lost. It is done. God's king sets up on the holy hill of Zion. Now let's go back to Psalms 2 and read verses 7 through 9. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, Thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron. Thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now this is the Messiah himself talking. He says in verse 7, God himself has set him on this throne. God has claimed him as his son. He is who he is. He is the Son of God. Verse 8 tells us that Christ is the heir to all things, and he possesses all things. These very nations that are coming against him will be his inheritance, and it will be our inheritance because we are believers in Christ. These nations that are raging against him will be his inheritance. And as believers in Christ, it will also be our inheritance. Christ is the heir to all things, and he possesses all things. Verse 9 says that God gives Christ the victory. Christ is the Messiah. He will break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces, just like a piece of pottery. For those who are afraid of how all of this is going to turn out, there is no need to worry. Jesus has already won. The victory is already his. Jesus, the Christ, our Messiah, is standing in the winner's circle today. Already, it's done. Now let's read verses 10 through 12, and we'll conclude our study of Psalm 2. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Let's look at verses 10 and 11. Here we find instructions to the nations and their kings to be wise. Be wise and serve the Lord. To fear the Lord and know that he means what he says. Be wise and know that he will not be overcome. He is the winner. The victory is already his. And the wise man will join him in that winner's circle. Verse 12 tells us to accept and welcome Jesus and his rule over you. The kiss that this verse tells us to give to the Son encompasses everything we should feel about him. This should be a kiss of acceptance, respect, honor, and worship. Then he tells us what will happen to us if we don't accept the Son. We will experience God's wrath and he will be angry. We will perish. Now this is the answer to all those who ask if there are other ways to heaven other than through Jesus. Some of the radio talk show hosts have been asking this recently. This is ridiculous. I mean, these people think they're so wise, so open-minded. This is ridiculous. If there was any other way, then the birth, the life, the crucifixion, and the resurrection of Jesus was all in vain. Would God have gone through all that if this was just one of several ways? The smartest and the wisest men in the eyes of the world don't have a clue. They're blinded. Then this psalm ends with a clear, precise, and simple statement. Blessed are all they who put their trust in him. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Have you always wanted to memorize scripture, but just didn't know where to start? Nancy Baxter's book, Hid in My Heart, will not only get you started, but will guide you through an entire year of memorizing scripture. Hid in My Heart gives you 365 verses and a system to learn a verse each day, each week, or even each month. No matter which method you choose, you are memorizing scripture. Memory work is not just for kids. Hid in My Heart, available now at houseofjoyministries.com.
That's our study for today. Join us for other Bible studies on Blog Talk Radio and visit our website to access the full line of our study guides and programs for women and children. We hope you'll join us for one of our conferences too. Get the details on houseofjoyministries.com.
How can I, your servant, talk to you, Lord? My strength is gone and I can hardly breathe. Here I am, Lord, I'm waiting for your presence. I am empty, Lord, come fill my cup. I am empty, Lord, come fill my cup. You are the vine, God, and we are the branches. You washed and caught every breath I took. Emmanuel, our God, was with us, leading God us through your word breathe. Here I am, Lord, I'm waiting for your presence. I am empty, Lord, come fill my cup. I am empty, Lord, come fill my cup.